Corinthians chapter 11 will be our text. 1 Corinthians and the 11th chapter. You can go ahead and be seated because I'm going to work my way through the text. And I'll forget you standing there. And I have to stand here and I won't have a burden that you're standing there. Lord God Almighty, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the Holy Ghost sent from the Son. Thank you for the Son sent from the Father. And thank you, Lord, the Spirit sent His servants unto us and sent His Word. Our Lord, breathe on us in these hours, in these days. Father, in this preaching morning on the Lord's Day, breathe on us. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people say it. Amen. I have been studying in Corinthians for maybe 6 months. And the Lord's given me 2 or 3 messages. This particular chapter and this particular message I have been preaching in the churches for about 3 months. And so I want to come and bring it to this particular body. And we want to say that we thank you and appreciate you on behalf of our family for 10 years now. This is my 31st year preaching. I started when I was a lad. I preached my first revival when I was 16. And it was so good that nobody needed another one from me for several years. That one, it just had such an impact. People didn't need another one until I was in my mid-20s. Ha ha! That's a true story. And but I pastored from age 21 to age 29, one church in the Florida, North Florida swamps. And then the Lord put us on the road. I'm 43, and when I was 29, the Lord put us on the road preaching. And it was 10 years ago that this church put us in a vehicle. And we've been on the road riding on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Liberty Baptist Church for 10 years. And I thank God for it. And I praise God for it. And I rejoice in it. It is a wonderful thing. On your behalf and on our behalf, it's a God thing. Amen. 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 I may just jump off that balcony. I believe I can fly. And I got enough padding, it probably wouldn't even hurt when I hit right there. I still got my high school figure. And it's in there, and I love it so much, I have insulated it and padded it. I studied my skeletal frame the other day and took the scientific measurements, and my projected weight should be between 200 and 300. And so I've been very successful keeping it right. Now, usually, Brother Ken and I, I'll lose 40 pounds and be slender, and he'll gain 30 and be heavy. Or then we'll swap, and then I'll gain mine back, and he'll go on a 6 month, and he'll be... But today, we're both fat, I've noticed. We've seesawed for years, and right now, we're both closer to 300 than 200. But it's within our projected weight limit structure thing that I set up for myself. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I found there are 2 things vital and necessary for the worship of the church to be healthy. One is hair, and the other one is heresy. There are 2 things you got to have for your worship to be right. One is hair. Some of you men are hurting. And the other one is heresy. That was interesting to me. Now we know we're in the Word. He's instructing this church how to have their worship right. In verse 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, you need to go get all them, let's see, You need to go line up all of them. I'm looking for a kind word. You need to get all them reprobates that don't go to church and tell you, well, you're just following a preacher. And you got a verse for them to tell them you're supposed to follow a preacher. Well, you're a preacher follower. You're a man follower. And they don't go to church nowhere. And that's their little thing they hide behind. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. It's Bible. It's authority. Apostolic authority and pastoral authority. Now let me say something about pastoral authority. You better be glad there's a shepherd in your pasture with authority. I may jump off that balcony yet. If you don't understand pastoral authority, understand this. You better be glad there's a shepherd in your pasture with authority. Hallelujah! That's pastoral authority. Somebody in the pasture where the sheep are grazing had better have authority because these wolves. Anybody don't like pastoral authority don't understand that sheep are precious. We got a little beagle dog, little lemon spotted beagle. And I don't take it hunting because I go to my couch and watch TV is what I do. I shouldn't have probably said that on, but anyway. But I got it for the kids. And all I watch is Judge Judy and Fox News. She gets me ready to preach and they make me mad. But we got a little beagle dog for the kids. Little lemon spotted. And the neighbor up the road has got a Pyrenees, somebody help me say it, great old big white dog. Pyrenees. And it's a great old big white shaggy dog. And it's been coming down because Chloe has adopted every animal. I mean, there's wild animals that feel at home in our yard because Chloe loves them all. And this dog weighs 10 times much as she does, but it obeys her. And he hangs out with us. Well, I was going to run it off because it's eating our flip-flops and our dog food. But somebody told me sometime back we got coyotes real bad in our part of the world. And that old white dog is a sheep dog. And it's bred within them. I'm about to jump off your balcony. They look for coyotes and wolves at night. They don't just guard their turf. They look for something that they can guard real good against. And we got our little beagle out there, and he's not pinned in. And I was worried about him. Maybe somebody said them coyotes are going to get him. But that old white dog, whew, I'm feeling some happy bubbles, Brother Ken. That old white dog hangs out down there, and the other night, 2 a.m., and I sprung to my feet and leapt to the shutters and opened. No, that's a Christmas story. I haven't leapt anywhere for about 20 years. I staggered out of bed, straightened out my gout leg, hobbled to the sash, threw up the window, however it goes. And so, such a clatter, and out on the lawn was it. But anyway, and there that white dog. I didn't know what it was after, but I was glad that somebody in our yard had authority. Amen. I don't mind him eating flip-flops because a coyote can't eat my beagle. And if you got an old-fashioned Holy Ghost preacher, he may grab your flip-flop every once in a while and rip it around and throw it. But at least there ain't no coyotes and wolves in the yard. Thank God. Honey, that old big dog's got authority. Got strength, and he knows it. And he'll be out there in the middle of the night. And I say, thank God he's taking care of my little beagle. See all them little beagles over there? See all them little baby beagles that lined up there a while ago? Learning how to give to God? You better be glad there's a big white dog. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the Word of God, and the man of God, that's where the authority is. Now, y'all made this sermon longer because that wasn't in it. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, we know he's dealing with the worship of the church because in verse 2, he speaks of the ordinances. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now, he's conducting and orchestrating and teaching and instructing on the worship of the church. So he comes down in verse 21 and verse 20 rather. When you come together therefore in the one place, this is not to eat the, and he begins to talk about the Lord's Supper. And from verse 20 all the way down to verse 34, he speaks of the Lord's Supper. So he is setting in order the worship of the church. Underline one thing. I'm going to take 20 seconds and chase a rabbit. 20 seconds. Somebody time me, make me hush in 20 seconds. But he said, when you come together, therefore, into one place. I'm sorry, but I'm not going contemporary. I'm not going to have seven co-elders, three of them women pastors. I'm not going to meet in 20 different places. I'm going to come together in one place. Y'all ain't helping me. That's 40 seconds now. You just looked at me. That cost you 20 seconds. I ain't going to have small cell clusters all over West Georgia. When you come together in one place, and I don't think you ought to divide anything. The church is divided enough. Ought to be unity. Y'all got to help me right there in one place. One, that's Bible. We got Bible for everything we do. When you come together, therefore, into one place. Amen. Small cell clusters. That's co-pastors. All over town. Small group settings. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't going to rapture some 25 different sections. He's going to call out one body. Assembly. That's what we are. And we assemble. This contemporary outfit is set on one thing. Divide everything in every which way you can, the body of Christ. Chop it up in 100 different pieces and send it everywhere. Y'all got to help me now. In one place. Amen. Small cell groups. Only thing I seen clustering in small cells is terrorists and cancer. And contemporary churches. It's all right just to come into one place and have church. It got a little quiet right there. Now, he's setting their worship in order. You got to have hair, and you got to have heresy. Isn't that interesting? That was interesting to me. Well, let's look at the heresy. Verse 19. He said, for there must be also heresies among you. That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. What about that? He said, if this thing's going to work good, we got to have some heresies. What about that? That's interesting, isn't it? I'm sorry, I don't have any Sunday morning services. I don't have any Sunday morning sermons. I never did. He don't either, so I'm comfortable. You gotta have, he said there's gotta be heresies. Verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. And then the next verse he said it's got to be so. There must be heresies. That they which are approved, that's interesting. I mean, I'm a five-generation Baptist preacher, and all I know is pastoring and ministry and gospel and missions and evangelism. And I've always heard that the reason we got to have the reason that churches have divisions and splits and heresies is so we can find out who's bad and get rid of them. But God said, I'm going to come. That little word heresy, do your word study. It comes from a root word meaning to take a piece of paper and split it right down the middle. Division. That's why he immediately said heresy. What does a heresy do in the church? It always divides. It splits. He said there's got to be splits right down the middle of the church. And he ain't looking for who's bad. He's looking for who's good. Y'all ain't helping me. That they which are approved. Now, we'll come back to that probably. There must be heresies. It's got to be so in the church. Now, let's talk about this hair business. Isn't that interesting? This is the verse, and I'm glad we had this verse in the 70s so we could preach against the hippies. I ain't seen but two hippies in the last 5 years, but we can still preach against y'all want to. All right, verse 14, this is where it says, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?" And then you come up to verse 5 and 6, where it says, "If a woman has her hair shorn or shaven or cut off, then it's a shame." See it in verse 6, it's a shame. And you come down to verse 15, and it says, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." Now, before I go to verse 7, let me say two things. What we're not talking about here. And we know we have a lot of the Pentecostal holiness people, and they let the ladies let their hair grow down to the floor. And we're not making fun of them, but this verse is not teaching that you're supposed to do that. And then I understand a lot of the grandmothers and older ladies have short hairstyles, and that's the way, and that's fine. That verse is not talking about anything like this. What this verse is talking about is the great rebellion of the last days is role reversal. It's a role reversal. I preach about 45 miles from here in a church, preacher. And there's a man and his wife in there. And they got a son, lives in Atlanta, and has been caught up in this thing. This thing of men with men, women with women. And they weep the whole time that anybody brings it up. And I'm going to tell you something. If you know anybody, we're in the last generation. There is 10,000 devils have come out of hell that the planet has not seen before. And our generation has been caught up in this thing. And it is demonic. And if you know anybody who's got a child that's like, you just ought to weep with them and pray for them. And you weep with them and pray for them. Because it's everywhere. And I don't think when a young man is caught up in the homosexuality, or a young woman is caught up into that perversion of women with women, a natural abomination, and men with men, an unnatural abomination. I don't think their problem is lust. It's not lust. It's lies. Lust comes later. The devil gets them to believe a lie. It's lies. I sat down outside of Baltimore, Maryland with a 21-year-old preacher's son. A tall, slender, blonde-haired boy. And he was a preacher boy during his teenage years. And now he's caught up in that. And his mama laid on the altar Sunday night and a Monday night and a Tuesday night and wept. And some of the women of the church fasted with her and praying for that boy. Over in an apartment in Baltimore, in unspeakable situation. And they wept and prayed 3 nights. And you know, Wednesday morning, that boy called the preacher out of nowhere. He'd been out there for 2 years. He said, "I want to come see you. I'm sick of my sin. I want to come see you." And he came in there and sat down in that office. And as we talked, I said, "Son, your problem's not lust, your problem's lies. You have believed the lie the devil has put in your mind." Now, what's the deal with hair? Why is he talking about hair? Why is he talking about it's a shame for a woman to have her hair cut off and the hair is a woman's glory? And why is it a shame for a man to have long hair? Well, all he's talking about is a role reversal. Do you know it's one of the greatest rebellions in the face of God? The first commandment God ever gave... Y'all don't mind some Bible teaching this morning, do you? The first commandment... I've been in Corinthians for 6 months. I just can't quit. The first commandment God gave man. The two prevailing sins of our day are direct rebellions against the first commandment that God ever spoke to man. He said unto Adam, this is your wife. You take her and be fruitful and multiply and have children. And the sin of homosexuality and the sin of abortion goes directly against. We are in one of the last great rebellion upsurges from hell. Jesus has got his door on the handle. The knob is turned. It's cracked open. He's fixing to come back and get his children. We're right back to where we started. Now, what is this hair business about? It's about being covered or uncovered. Are y'all with me? Let's read verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Do you know the Southern Baptist Convention 5 years ago put it to a convention vote to whether that man is the head of the woman or not? I'm glad I ain't got to put it to a vote to know whether to believe my Bible or not. Ain't need to vote on that. Don't need to ask headquarters. Don't need to ask the president of nothing if we're going to believe the Bible or not. Now, why is this crucial to worship? The head. Look in verse 6. Well, look in verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn, let her be covered. Now what is this covering for? Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Ladies, when you get your husband home this afternoon, feed him well and then look at him and say, honey, you are the image and glory of God. Just try it, girls, and see if it'll help him. I've been trying to get Jennifer to try that for 6 months. She ain't into this Bible study quite as much as I am. Said, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now see, God made man out of the dust. But he made woman out of the man. Now ladies, let's clear something up. 20 seconds. 20 seconds. If I go past it, throw something at me. You don't need to feel inferior because you're not inferior. Girls, you're actually the crowning of all creation. Well, y'all didn't appreciate that as much as you said. I said you're the crowning of all creation. God made everything and was done. He saw creation and He said it's good. He saw man alone and said it is not good. That's King James. All right, the trees and the hills and the birds and they got good. Man standing over by himself got a not good over his head. Now, girls, you're going to like this part and you better holler amen because it's going to get a little rough later on. This is your good part. He made woman, brought her in, and then God said, it is very good. Rocks and rivers and mountains and trees, good. Man by himself, not good. Woman in the picture, very good. So when y'all go home today, ladies, tell him, honey, you look just like the image and glory of God. And see if you don't have a good Sunday afternoon. And then you just look at her face and say, honey, I was not good till you got here. And then it's been very good. Now, what's the deal? What's this hair deal? Look in verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Can I interpret that for you right here? For this cause ought the woman to have a strong man as the authority over her to protect her from the seducing spirits, the devils that are in this hour. And fallen angels. The same thing that got Eve in the garden. Y'all ain't helping me. I don't know where her Adam was, but he was not covering for her that day. And Satan pulled her hair back, and that's what it's symbolic of. That's what it's symbolic of. You're a preacher's daughter, and you're the one with your dad's personality. We'll pick on you. Only your husband is supposed to be able to take and speak to your ear. That's what the hair deal's about. It'd be a shame for you to have your ears covered and her to be uncovered and her deal with God and Satan and then help you. Let me break this down. The hair thing is a head thing. It's a headship. God is the head of Christ. He looked over His Son the whole time He was here. He took care of Him. He had Him covered. Y'all ain't helping me. Christ is covering for the bride right now. We are the bride of Christ this morning. And vain a devil out there can get in here that he don't let in because he's out there right now covering. Y'all ain't helping me. Why do we got to have... I'm going to say this. And if y'all don't get it, I'm preaching to 1:30. See, if you don't get it, act like you get it. Why do we got to have our hair right? Because hair gives you a covering. How many of y'all think there's some things in here that ought to be protected? Amen. Covered. I've got you covered. Why do we got to have heresies? Because there's some things that's got to be uncovered.
That's right. Amen.
Our worship ain't going to be right until some things are covered. We ought to take that King James Bible and tell the world and the devil that you ain't a-getting it. That's protected. We ought to take that pulpit so you can't have our preaching. We're covering that. They ain't going to haul these altars out of here. There's some things that ought to be covered. And then the heresy plays a role. God lets a church divide right down the middle and He'll rip it in half so He can uncover some things. I don't know if y'all want preaching or not this morning. Hair in this chapter gives you a covering. You ain't going to have church right if there ain't a big white dog protecting some things. I can take you to 1,000 churches within 30 square miles where nothing's been covered. Nothing's sheltered. Nothing's protected. And the devil's had his way. Because who was supposed to be the head didn't cover anything. Y'all ain't helping me. It's the problem with the church. It's why there ain't no worship in the church. It's why there ain't no worship in the home. It's why there ain't no worship in your soul. Because some things ought to be protected, but they're uncovered. And there's some things that need to be uncovered. But we don't want to let God tear anything up. God needs to tear some things up just so He wants to see what's in there. Are y'all with me? All right, you give me about 20 minutes and I can bring this thing in. I'm going to use you and the sister. Now, I went to McDonald's not too long ago to get a coffee. I was on my way to church. I watched Judge Judy to get in a good mood to deal with Baptists. And I get me some double decaf shot coffee and I'm ready for them when I get there. And all the coffee in McDonald's was because they got the best coffee. I ain't going by $6. Amen. McDonald's got the best. Burger King needs to just close their doors. And Hardee's, how do you have such a good biscuit and stupid coffee? That keeps me awake at night. So McDonald's was closed. I had to go into Walmart. They had a McDonald's in Walmart to get a coffee. And the big old thing was standing there and turned around to take my order. And it was her. She said, "What can I do for you?" Crew cut. Spiked. Blonde spiked. "What can I do for you?" I like, "Just don't sneeze into nothing that I have over there." You know? Alright? And my heart went out to the girl. Because she's just a victim of a society that is demon possessed. Somebody, she needs the gospel just like I needed the gospel. But it turns your stomach because it is so unnatural against God. And she's standing there, had barbed wire tats around her biceps. All right, now this happened just like this. Coffee. And she said, "I got to make a pot." I said, "Okay." I said, "I'll go out here and act like I'm the greeter," which I do sometimes. Because the actual greeter, he forgets he's the greeter, and you can take over. He's like, "Eh." But anyway, that's nothing. So I turned around, I said, "All right," and ran right into a thing. He was about 45. He had on a blue tank top and jewelry. Lipstick, makeup, and there ain't a woman in here that's got as pretty a head of black hair as he had. Nope, nobody even close. Pretty close. He had. And Brother Ken, this hat just like this. I've not hit anybody since the last time I played King of the Mountain with my three brothers. Almost, it was instinct. And I ain't hit anybody in years and years. I turn around, boom, he was there. And he did this, he said. He was right there. I mean, I got to get out of this Walmart. There he was. You talk about role reversal.
Yes, sir, preacher. That's it.
Now here's what's happening in the hour we live in. Preach. Stand up, my brother. Put your Bible down. Stand right here. And face them. Sister, you stand right behind him. Whose boy is this? Okay. You okay to come stand up here? All you got to do is stand up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. Okay. You don't have to. I don't want to embarrass him. One of you boys, come here. All right, come here, son. Just stand right here. I wouldn't get up nowhere until I was 15, so you're okay, buddy. Stand right here. Now, if a crazy man came through that door with a machine gun this morning, and it could happen in this society, I'm having a happy bubble right now. What's the most precious thing in this building? It's the babies. Y'all got to help me. It's the babies. What's the second most precious thing in here? It's the brides. It's the brides. It's the brides. What kind of sorry, low-down, sap-sucking, egg-skunk type of man would get behind her and say, you go, I'm gonna hide back here. You cover for me. I'm gonna hide. All he's talking about here is a rank and an order that God gave for our benefit. Ladies, you don't need to feel like God thinks little of you. The further back you go, the more precious you are. Y'all ain't helping me. Hey, girls, God don't mind putting the old feller out front. He can take a few licks. He's ugly anyway. Supposed to be. You got you a feller who thinks he's pretty and tries to be pretty. You better watch him.
either try to get another woman to think he's pretty, or he'll try to get some man to think he's pretty. Get you an old redneck, just put on a t-shirt and stick his hair down. Praise God. Now, if everybody over here is in order, let me tell you how protected. I'm about to pop a happy bubble. Come here, big blue. Stand right here. Turn around. My Bible said that God is the head of Christ. If this thing's in order today, here's what the madman would have to, here's what the devil would have to come through. God the Father's looking out for the bride of Christ today. We're the body of Christ. The Father's looking over. You'd have to come through the Father. You'd have to come through God the Son. You'd have to come through a man who's right with God. You'd have to come through a mad mama to get to the precious baby. And honey, when your head is right, when your headship is right, when your covering is right, I want you to look how precious and how protected. Now let's talk about your home for 30 seconds. Let's talk about the church first. Let's talk about your church for 30 seconds and then talk about your home for 30 seconds. The average church, here's the Father. Here's the Son. Here's the pastor. Here's the bride of Christ. Here's the spiritual babies. Father, just take a seat, big blue Father. Let's talk about the home. Let's talk about the church. Let's talk about the home. The average home, the man in America has gone off to play with his idols, his sins, his American dream. And he's no longer behind Jesus. Just go over there somewhere. He's out of the will of God. The average woman in America has thumbed her nose at God and said, I don't need you to take care of me. She stepped out from her husband, out from underneath his headship, his authority. You know why it said she ought to have power on her? Because there's a pow in that power. The average man's out of the will of God. And if the woman ain't saved, these devils coming in the door that we can't handle. And then the average mama's gone off to do her little Ellen DeGeneres, Rosie O'Donnell, Hillary Clinton thing. Get out of the will of God, sis. Get over out of the will of God. Look who is here. The children of America. They're vulnerable. They're exposed. And he takes them left and right. Come back in real fast, everybody. You stay down there, big blue Father. You're a little blue Father. You keep eating right, one day you can be a big blue Father. And you notice he ain't got on no pink tie either right there. That's not the big blue Father. Now, quit trying to make excuses. What do you do in your home when the husband gets out of the will of God? Step over. Ladies, here's what you can do. Just reach up there and tap Jesus on the shoulder. Go ahead, sister. And say, Jesus, I sure need you now. Like never before. What if he just walks off and divorces you? What if he runs off with, yeah, you got it, sis. Girls, you can stay submitted under the Lord. And he'll cover for you. You all know why me and Jonathan and our brother Jason, our brother Chad, our sister Alicia, her preaching husband, Our sister Johanna runs a Christian school. You don't know why all six of us are so blessed? It's because about 40 years ago, a little black-headed woman that picked cotton and walked through the hills of North Georgia, her old drunk husband walked off and left her. Bill Monroe proposed to her. The sheriff proposed to her. She's a pretty black-headed half-Indian woman. And she told all of them, Jesus will be enough from here on out. Thank you anyway. Woo! And Grandma and Jesus had something going. And I don't know what they covenanted together, but it got on all of us. I was back there, way back there. Step back in the will of God, sir. What if your wife decides she don't want to love God? She don't want to live separated and holy. She loves this American lifestyle. Looks like they're having such a good time over there. Why do we got to be different? And she takes off out of the will of God. You know what you can do, fellas? You can tap Jesus. And say, Lord, she's over there. And he'll say, where? She's over there. Jesus, I'll go get her. Come on back now, sis. Let's be a church. Come on back, big blue father. Little blue father. The average church. The pastors wimp out. They're hirelings. They're not going to stand up against a deacon. They're not going to stand up against the devil. They're not going to preach the good scriptures right because they're not going to preach the tough scriptures right. They sell out for a dollar. And the man of God's gone. He gets back here. And there the Father. Just sit down, Father. And the Lord Jesus, where are you? And the bride is left exposed. The babies of the church. Let me tell you something. Come on back in the will of God, preacher. Every once in a while you got a good man of God. Every once in a thousand times, you got a man that wants Jesus and nothing else.
Amen.
And the church don't. Get on out of the will of God, church. The bride of Christ don't. And he's got to stand there by himself. And there's no babies when the bride is not in love with Jesus. Come sit down. There's no babies. And there's a man of God by himself. But the Lord will say, I know you by yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. You're really not by yourself.
Right. Right.
But there ain't no church.
Mm-hmm.
Be seated. I mean, the hair, that was more than just so we could tell hippies to get a haircut in the 70s. This is a headship. This is a headship. And for this cause, off the woman, the bride at the house, and the bride at the house of God. She ought to have a pow. There ought to be a man of God at your house. There ought to be a man of God at your church. And she's got power over her. And she can take care of the babies. Quit being rebellious and resentful of what's back there. You're the further back you go, the more precious you are. The hair is for a covering. The average Baptist church, they've left it totally uncovered. There ain't no men. There's a role reversal. There ain't no babies on the scene. What do you got when you got men with men, women with women? There ain't no babies. That's happening in our churches. That's happening in our churches. The relationships are all wrong. And there ain't no birth taking place on the delivery room. Go ahead and softly play, sis. I'll tell you why our hair's got to be right. Because it's about our headship. It's got to be a covering. Every young couple ought to get on this altar because the devil's got a target on your marriage. He's got a target. You ought to get your husband, your wife. You ought to get your little babies and you young men ought to get on this altar and beg God that your house be in order. Ladies, you ought not fall in line with the rebellion of this hour. You ought to fall in line with the Word of God. Let me tell you something. To be a mother and a wife is the highest, most godliest calling there ever could be. For you to be the first female president of the United States, you'd have to step down from the high calling of being a mother and a wife. It'd be a shame and a step down. You young couples ought to get on this altar. Liberty Baptist Church. You ain't going to have nothing right unless you got the right things covered. Y'all ought to cover your pastor. You men ought to cover your pastor with prayer. Y'all ought to guard these altars. You ought to guard the presence of God. There's some things you better cover. There's some things you better have covered. You men and women of the Liberty Baptist Church. He told you how to have worship. We get our headship right. Get our hearts right. Get under the hedge. I want everybody to stand. Make it easy to move. This may be your first or second time here. Come down and get on these altars if you need to. Come and get on these altars with us. Play out loud now, sis, and let God's people pray.